The January 16, 2015 rain report is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. Writing news copy is a rare talent, regardless if that script is being prepared for the 6 o'clock network news or for Newsline. For the past 2 weeks, we've been doing some time travel back to 1990 to an early interview Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, conducted with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, the man behind the amateur radio Newsline. Bill co-founded Newsline back in the spring of 1977 and has written most of the copy over the intervening years. A licensed ham since 1958, Bill was named the 1989 Ham of the Year by DARA, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. He retired not long ago from the video side of the broadcast industry from Fox Television in Los Angeles. We begin our third and final excerpt from Hap's 25-year-old interview with Bill with the story behind Bill's writing career.
I'm a college quitter, a college dropout, and majored in electronic engineering, but from the time I was a little kid, I loved to write, and I don't know why. I just love to write. I can't spell, by the way. They keep telling me that the only reason I can spell is because my computer does my spelling for me. But I've always loved to write. When I was a very young kid, I built a little test in a cigar box, a bulb, a battery, and two wires. And I wrote the story up for Popular Electronics Magazine in the era when Carl and Jerry were being with the kid hero hams of John T. Fry's column, which of course pegs my age. I wrote it up, sent it to them, figuring they're going to laugh at it, and they sent me $5. And they published it. Here's this 10-year-old kid, and he's got this article in this magazine that's being read by other people. And that's what started it. And I wish I had a copy of that. I remember the circuit, but I don't remember the picture of how that thing looked. After that, I just started writing. I loved English in junior high school. And in high school, I wrote a lot of compositions. I just loved writing, and it became a second or third hobby for me. Then I kind of put it aside. Didn't do much writing, except for my own enjoyment, until, I guess it was 1970... I was in business with Larry Levy, WA2INM. We had a discotheque lighting and sound system business in Brooklyn, New York. Since discotheque lighting and sound systems weren't a good income on a day-to-day basis, we also fixed television sets. One of our customers was Wayne Green, W2NSD. Actually, it was Wayne's mother and father who lived in Brooklyn at the time. They had an old RCA CTC-5 color set that could go out on occasion. One time, Larry went over and pulled the thing into the shop, and Wayne came over. He was in Brooklyn visiting his mom and dad, and he came over to see what was happening with the set. And this was just about the time I had given Larry notice that I was leaving the business and I was moving to California. So that put pegs at 1971. And I told Wayne, I'm moving to California, and he says, do you have an FM rig in your car? Remember, this is the dawning of the FM era, 1970-71. I said, well, I'm planning to buy something. He says, well, do me a favor. See what you can work going across the country and write me a little article on it. So I did. What did I call it? Looking ahead, looking back or something. I gave it some title. I had this old cassette recorder, which I carried. One of the first ones, the old Norelco carry recorder. I took a bunch of cassettes, recorded the QSOs. I had a Regent SE HR2, 6-channel crystal-controlled radio, and the carry recorder. My wife would run the carry recorder for me and change the batteries, and I was driving. I'm holding these QSOs, and I wrote an article called Looking Ahead, Looking Behind. That was the name of it, for 73. It never got published. Sent it to Wayne. He sent it back about 3 days later. The last line I was on it was, try again. So instead of doing this thing about making the trip cross-country, I had by this time now, a couple weeks in California, had gotten to know the strange operation of FM in California, the clannishness. I came at the era when the old 7-6 Secret Service was just starting to fall apart, when repeaters were becoming heavy in vogue. And remember, this part of the country was probably a good 10 years ahead of the rest of the nation in repeaters and remote bases. I mean, the rest of the country had never heard of a remote base, and there were 200 of them in the Los Angeles area at the time. I had a lot of material to work with. I wrote an article called Looking West, which was going to be a one-time article about amateur radio in Southern California, FM, 2 meters. He liked it, published it. They got a lot of letters. I got a lot of letters, and that led to everything else. It led to the movies. It led to my career in broadcasting. Everything else is directly attributable, I guess, to having written that first article that was rejected, and then the second one that was accepted happened. I think that the history of Looking West is applicable to this because it led directly to the formation of the Westlink Amateur Radio News, and then, of course, my taking it over, because if I hadn't had the ability to write and the experience gained from writing at that time for 7 years or 6 years or what have you for Wayne Green, and then, of course, for World Radio and then Interim and some of the other magazines, I probably would have not had the guts to take over a news operation and try and build it.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air bulletin service. Now, reporting from Los Angeles, here is Andy Jarema, N6TCQ.
There's two sources of funding. People appreciated it and started just sending donations. I didn't know what to do with them. I don't want to handle money. I have nothing to do with the money. I can't even sign a check. Money isn't on the checkbook, as far as I know. I've never signed a check, I don't think, for Newsline or Westlake Radio. One afternoon, we're sitting writing checks. This goes back into the 70s for like $250 to the phone company. I said, wait a second, there's a problem here. But we had people starting to send in donations. We didn't ask for them, they did. So I called up a friend of mine, Norm Chalfin, K6PGX. Norm is very well known with AmSat North America. Let's put it this way. There are very few people I would trust with my entire life. Put it in their hands and say, I felt comfortable. Norm Chalfin is the kind of person you can feel comfortable putting your life in his hands. And I put the entire financial future of Newsline in his hands. He started the Westlink Radio Network, now Newsline Support Fund. He handles that. I have nothing to do with the funding. I don't know about the funding. I really don't want to know about the funding. He handles the bills. Solicitation is on a closed circuit basis. That is, we ask the people who are bulletin stations to do any fundraising and forward it to Norm. And frankly, I don't want to get involved with the fundraising aspect of it. As long as the funds are there to keep it on the air, we'll keep it on the air. And I look at it this way. As long as the funds keep coming in, something tells me we're doing something right. Because if we weren't, I don't think people would support it. As I said, there were two sources. When there's not enough, Norm will call up and will say, help. And I'll write the check. And it comes literally off my kitchen table. It comes out of our house budget because there's no other place for it to come from. I mean, it comes out of my money, my pocket, from what I earn at my regular job at Fox Television.
One other issue I'd like to touch on is the legitimacy of audio bulletin services or ham radio broadcasts versus the print media, i.e. ham magazines.
Okay. Very simply. I think they all have their place. I don't think you can compare bulletin services with magazines because the two are not alike. Magazine is legally falls into a different category. Well, let's compare them with newsletters, okay? And this is my own personal feeling. Let's state that from the beginning. A news bulletin is just that, a bulletin. It tells you who, what, when, where, how, and goes on to something else. With as little personal involvement as possible, as little opinion as possible. I do not agree with those who go on and on and on and on and on with personal bulletin services which reflect their own personal views for hours on end. I don't think that serves any purpose. We do news, N-E-W-S, news. If we're going to do something other than news, if it's going to be a special report, we'll say, hey, this is a special report that contains our opinion, and we'll label it as such. Legitimacy, I think they're all legitimate. The FCC has already said they're all legitimate. I obviously enjoy doing it. If I didn't, I probably would have stopped a long time ago. And as you know, we've gone through some pretty trying times. We've had some strange occurrences over the past few years. We keep it going, and there's got to be a reason. The other reason, I think, comes that when people just say thank you, and I know what we're doing is appreciated. I know that there are people out there who listen to it and who appreciate it. And as long as there are people who do listen and who do appreciate what we do, I'm going to try my best to keep it going for as long as it's feasible, as long as my health and the finances permit.
And you just alluded to something I forgot to ask you about before. Has Newsline ever been sued?
Yes, and I can only say because of the terms of the settlement on it, I'd have to refer you or anybody else to the law firm of Greenberg, Lesker, Fields, Klayman, and Machtinger. I am not permitted to comment on it, although others in the Westlink organization are. Those of us who signed the agreement dismissed, by the way, the thing was dismissed, I should add, that I can say. So obviously there was no liability. There's just nothing I can talk about. I have to refer you to the lawyers, and if you want to call Cynthia Jacobs, you feel free to do so.
You're listening to an extended interview with the man behind Newsline, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, who continues to recover from an accident at home. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter at hashtag TheRainReport and online on TheRainReport.com.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
What is Newsline's role in the 90s, do you think, in amateur radio?
I think Newsline's role in the 90s and hopefully through the year 2000 and into the future is the same as it's been for the past 14 years. Educate, let hams know about the world around them. 220 is a good example. I personally believe that 220 to 222 megahertz was stolen from amateur radio to make big business prosper. But how many hams would have known about it until after the fact had it not been for Newsline, had it not been for other services, the ARRL, WNAW, their ARL letter, W5YI. Fred does an excellent job. You'll never hear me knock any of the competition because I think that we all complement one another. Newsline has one ability that the others don't. We can be a little more in-depth than an ARRL bulletin and a lot more timely than any newsletter. Other than that, we're basically a headline service, and we alert you as to what's coming down the pike. We hope that you'll do more research and keep abreast of what's happening because it does affect you. I don't see the job changing. I see the modus operandi changing. For one thing, I now post a monthly version of Newsline called Newsline BBS on the AMSAT DRIG bulletin board down in Dallas, Texas. So we have a packet version, you might say, of it. But I'm only doing it once a month because I'm one person and I have nobody else to do it. Somebody else wants to take our scripts and do it for me and put it up on other BBSs, that's fine. I welcome that. So what I see is the involvement of data transfer as well as the voice version. The one thing that Newsline offers that nobody else does is that you can be driving home from work in a major traffic snarl, you're fed up, and there is the latest information on what's happening in ham radio sitting on your rig, coming out of the speaker, on your dashboard, telling you what's happening. And at least you're not wasting that time. If you're a ham, you've got something that the guy who's stuck in traffic alongside of you doesn't have. You have the ability to find out what's happening in your world. And if that's the kind of service that we're performing, if we're making the drive time for some people a little easier. Again, I think it comes down to education. Felt very honored last April to be chosen Radio Amateur of the Year, mostly because of this work we've done with Westlink Radio and now Newsline. And what went through my mind then, and I'd like to say again now, it's not me. I'm a catalyst, and that's all I am. I am one person. I love what I do. I have fun with it. If I didn't have fun with it, I'd adopt a long time ago. But there are so many people. What would Newsline have been without Jim Davis or Roy Neal or Al Call or Bill Orenstein, Mert Garlick, Robert Sudock, Mark Allen? And the list goes on and on. When you think about the names, some still with us, some who have left and gone on to other things, and people who have started their broadcast careers because of this. Some of the greatest help I have had in Newsline has come from people who are physically handicapped, sightless, hearing impaired, people who feel that they can add something and have become the backbone of us. We can't do this stuff alone. I can't do it alone. All these great people who have become a part of what I want to call the Westling Newsline family. They are my family. When I got that award, it wasn't me that was being honored. It was every one of them. To me, the future of Newsline lies with them and the people who will follow them and the people who will follow me. I don't know who that's going to be. There's one young lady you've heard on Newsline several times, Kelly Howard, N6PNY. She was in New World of Amateur Radio. She loves doing this kind of thing. And who knows, maybe she'll take over this or somebody else will come along. Right now, until the old man upstairs calls me and says, hey, guy, we need you up here, I'm going to try and keep going as long as I can. I really don't believe that the future of Newsline, as with the future of amateur radio, belongs with the young, I guess also with the young of heart.
Editorial note, though Bill Pasternak says he's not the granddad of ham radio information services, he is as far as I'm concerned. Now, if it weren't for his dedication and commitment over the years to amateur radio, on-the-air ham radio information services, like the Gateway 160-meter newsletter, the International Amateur Radio Network, Eastlink, ChicagoLink, the RP Report, and the RAIN dial-up service, may never have materialized. Bill Pasternak has indeed paid his dues to amateur radio. No wonder he was named Ham of the Year for 1989 at the Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. I hope you enjoyed this rather lengthy multi-part interview with the man behind Newsline, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP in Chicago, for the RP Report. A production of RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.
And that concludes our third and final excerpt from an interview RAIN's Hap Holly, KC9RP, conducted in 1990 with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, the man behind the amateur radio newsline. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2015 RAIN. All rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.